You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Pastor Nev's bringing a word. Let's pray for Pastor Nev. Father, thank you for this great man. I pray you fill him afresh, even now, with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Would the word he brings this morning really hit us hard in a good way? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, it's good to be back and straight into things. So we have the encounter happening, and there's a group down there today. Energy, of course, is happening too. And I'm just getting set up. Normally there's a bit of space while people come and go, isn't there? And, well, I was a bit taken back by the whole service, actually, and I have to say, during the worship, I was really just being touched by the Lord in that, and then, of course, I was not expecting at all a little presentation, but thank you guys for what you've done for us there. That's really very much appreciated. Today I want to, you can see the title of the talk which I want to bring today. It's a one-off, Holding On to Hope. I've just called it Our Journey. And 1 Corinthians says this, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. She goes on to say, let love be your highest goal. And I had on mind to share about one of these foundational characteristics mentioned in this verse today, with the others to follow at some time. And in fact, I often think of faith, hope, and love. I think it'd be a great motto for us, a mission statement, because as a church, they are so foundational and so important. And our life and our vision is based on them. And because I like order, I felt I needed to start with faith, as it's mentioned first. But love, Paul tells us, is the most important. So maybe we should start with that. But actually, what was on my heart was to do with hope. Keeping hope alive. Sorry, this is all pulling at me somehow. I don't know what's going on today. Keeping hope alive. So this is a one-off, really touching on hope, looking at our journey as a church which was birthed with high hopes, but high hopes we're still waiting to see fulfilled. Romans tells us this: such things, so Paul's referring to previous scripture, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. We all need hope and encouragement, especially when our hopes and dreams don't come to immediate fruition. It's important we don't let go of hope. Paul goes on, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is talking about a journey. And the reason why certain scriptures are recorded, he tells us, is to bring hope and encouragement on our journey as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. You see, hope is such an important characteristic in our lives. Hope keeps us going. Hope helps us persevere. Hope helps us when we've been knocked back. Hope gives us a hope for the future. We're not looking back to the good old days, but rather we have that conviction there's still more, even the best is yet to come. Now, we have to be careful where we place our hope. For example, you've heard me say many times, I believe the church is the hope of the world. But my conviction is not based on what I see or what I feel, but on what God intends. Our hope is in God, based on his word. David was a very up and down character, had many setbacks as well as victories. And sometimes life was hard for David, very hard. And it can be for us too. And on at least three occasions, David speaks to himself in his depressed state. And this is what he says. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." You see, church, God has to be the source of our hope. And when hope seems to be lost, or everything isn't working out as we think it should, we too should speak to ourselves, "Come on, don't be so down. Hope in God and let praise arise." Praise changes the atmosphere. Praise changes the heart. We came away home from our week away in different cities across Europe, and I was just feeling that sense of maybe distance from, just wasn't feeling a closeness to the Lord, I just felt I just need to reconnect. And I wasn't finding it easy through reading the Bible or whatever, so I turned on the telly and put YouTube on, just had some worship songs. And as the worship was being sung, my spirit was connecting again and drawing close to God. That's the power of praise. And sometimes here, like with David, it's not an automatic response to his goodness and his love and his faithfulness. Sometimes we just have to make that decision, "I will yet praise him. I'm going to push through. Though the fig tree doesn't blossom," and there's that verse from Habakkuk, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord." It's a battle sometimes, but it's important, because in the midst of troubles, as we praise from the heart, hope begins to arise again. Paul recounts some of his life experiences, and on one occasion he says, "I hope I'm not making a fool of myself going through all of this." And I felt a little bit like that as I was preparing what I want to really bring today. So I want to do a similar thing, but I don't want to make a fool of myself. I want to bring a little bit of a potted history of LifeSpring, but from the perspective of hope. So I hope you're going to bear with me. Some of you will know the story. I guess most probably don't. Now, I've got to admit, I'm not big on the significance of numbers. You might be a bit surprised about that, but 12 keeps occurring. I'm not a big guy on that sort of thing. But we have just celebrated, as you heard, 40 years of marriage. And 40 in the Bible occurs quite regularly. Children of Israel, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses was in the desert for 40 years, being prepared to lead the children of Israel. Jesus fasted for 40 days, and there's many more mentions too. But 40 years ago, this October, LifeSpring was born. We started off with a different name, and then we changed it again, and we became known as LifeSpring Church some 35 years ago. I'm actually hoping in October we're going to mark our 40th anniversary in a special way. But if you were to look at us now compared to where we were 40 years ago, you wouldn't recognize the change. Everything has changed. Mostly for the better. Maybe some of us wish we weighed what we did then and our hair was the same color as it was then. But generally, things have changed for the better. 40 years ago, about 20 individuals left another church in Reading, because we had a vision. We had hope. And like new wine in an old wineskin, it couldn't be contained in the structures and theology with which we grew up in. New wine needed a new wineskin, and a new church was born. Presence was always important to us. We called it worship. By that I mean, it wasn't just songs, but songs which attracted the felt presence of God. And I know worship's subjective, but I've got to say, guys, today I was in tears most of the time, just enjoying the presence of God. Thank you. Thank you for leading us into that place. We didn't want to sing at that time just for the sake of it. We wanted to touch his heart. And when we did, so often He touched our hearts too, afresh, with his love and his presence. We called it worship, but actually it was presence, which was always such an important characteristic of our church. And when presence wasn't there and we were just singing songs, I'd get disturbed. I'd be thinking, these are just songs. We've lost that connection. And so often we'd come back again and find that reconnection. Fellowship was important too. Church was always more than meetings, though meetings were important and scriptural. But Jesus modelled friendship, and the early church modelled friendship. And we saw friendships and relationships were important to him. In fact, friends were church. And for us too, it was important. Meals together were commonplace, trips together, holidays together. We were small enough at that time, most people used to come along. We enjoyed God, we enjoyed each other's company. We were friends. And in the midst of this new baby fledgling church were those three important ingredients: faith, hope, and love. Even then, in 1979, we were believing for more, and we still are. It's called hope. I say we had vision, at least hope for a bright future. We believed God was ushering in something new, which he was. It's just it didn't have the impact we were believing for. We were happy, we were charismatic, we were free. Those were early days of the charismatic movement and a move of the Holy Spirit which transformed historic churches across the world. And in our land, spontaneously, house churches emerged all across the land, hundreds of them, over a period of a number of years. They were exciting days. And of course, that's what we were. We were one of those house churches which emerged. We met in two house groups, and that was the whole church, you know. They were exciting days, and we were expecting the restoration of the church to lead to the restoration of society. But it didn't come. There was much life and continued anticipation, but what we were looking for didn't come. Then came, a number of years later, times of refreshing. It was 1994, when a move of God was birthed in Toronto. Hungry visitors from the UK arrived to see what God was doing. And many left touched with a new fire lit in their hearts. As they returned to the UK, often without explanation, even without any prayer or impartation, strange signs appeared and happened, just like in Toronto all those years ago. So much was unexplainable, weird manifestation. Some of us went there, we saw it, but we experienced it here too. Laughing, weeping, shaking, pogoing, riding a bicycle, giving birth. It was weird. Didn't have a clue what was going on most of the time. And some of you won't understand what I'm really talking about there. Even people roaring like lions. And I remember somebody coming up to me once, it wasn't happening here at that time, and said, they're roaring like lions in HTB in London. What do you make of that? I said, well, if it helps them love Jesus more, praise the Lord. But it seemed a bit strange to me. But then these sort of things began to happen. And I remember on one occasion we invited John and Ellie Mumford. At that time they were leaders of the Vineyard movement in the UK. They'd visited Toronto, and signs of revival had broken out wherever they spoke to. We'd never met them before, and there was a friend in the church invited them over, and they were happy to come. And John spoke. And to be honest, I found it so boring. Just like the vicar you would imagine on television. You know, he had that plum voice, such posh English. And then at the end of his message, he asked us to stand up, and he just prayed three words: Holy Spirit, come. And do you know what? Nothing happened. I wasn't expecting it to happen. I knew it wouldn't. It never did with us. We waited a little bit longer, and then he said, more, Lord. I couldn't believe it. Trembling started. Laughter. Weeping across the gym floor. We were meeting in the YMCA at the time. Respectable, together, decent Christians. just started to manifest all over the place, and they'd never seen it before. Nobody had told them what to expect, but it was the same things which were happening. I was bowled over, not literally, unfortunately. Some might have been, but I just never thought it would happen here. What was going on? Some of us visited Kengot in Sunderland on a number of occasions. Revival or signs of revival were in the air. And to be honest, some of the time I had no idea what was happening. I don't know what's going on today. Yeah, no, but it's all getting tied up or something. That's what I did. All right, sorry everybody who's listening on YouTube. I'm just sorting myself out. I think someone's shortened that wire. Anyway, some of us went up to Sunderland and we visited Kengot on a number of occasions. Sorry? Revival or sounds of revival were in the air. And as I say, I didn't understand a lot of the stuff which was happening. And I've got to admit, some was exhibitionist, some was just vying for attention. But for others, something so much more profound was happening on the inside. And many of us received during those times, at least those times that seemed like pre-revival. 1998, I had the opportunity to visit Argentina and experience ongoing revival. It was incredible. I remember at that time, it was said, Argentina lost the war, the Falklands War, that we were having a fight at the time. But they received something far greater, a gift from heaven, revival. And a group of us from here and other churches, we just went and experienced a move of God. Beyond the Toronto, and I love the Toronto thing, this was ongoing, and it's still going on. 20 or so years later, hundreds, thousands being saved. And I remember that sense being there, that it was like the nation was humbled through the military defeat. But through that enforced humility, God came in ways. I remember thinking, if it was a matter of losing or winning the Falklands War, I know what I'd prefer. A move of God, which was going to shake the nation. Hallelujah. And we humbled ourselves. I remember there was a soldier on our group who fought in the Falklands. And he went and he knelt down and he asked for, apologized and he asked for prayer. And we saw a move of God there in Argentina. And then a little later on, some of us used to go to Marsham Street every week. I can't believe it. Twice a week sometimes in London. Every week we would go because there was a sense of revival in the air in meetings in Westminster. And then we started our own meetings called Lighting the Fire. And for 18 months, every week, we held two services a week with Joel and others, lighting the fire. And people came and there was that hope and that expectation of revival. And as you see, I've called this the title, Holding On to Hope. What we were believing for, what we were expecting, still hadn't come about. But we were holding on. A hunger was stirred. We fasted, we prayed. But as I say, revival didn't come as we were expecting it. About that time, I remember Malk sending out Joel News, was it Malk? Stories of revival. I was on the list and I read them with hope and expectation. Lord, what you've done there, what you've done in different parts of our country, what you're doing in different parts of the world, you can do here. These stories, like the scriptures Paul mentioned, fan that flame and help kept that spark of hope glowing. And one of the stories was of a church in Colombia which had been so impacted by God. It had become one of the fastest growing churches in the world. I remember looking at the video and thinking, one day, Lord, I'd love to visit. Then forgot about it altogether. And gradually, hope just started to lessen. The prophets had prophesied great things, but I didn't see it. Revival hadn't come. Much good, yes, but not revival. Then in 2002, it's a questioning time in my life and my role in the future, a Scottish pastor visited us. And 6 weeks later, Jackie and I were in Colombia with him. And guess where we were? Yes, in that very church we'd seen 4 years ago earlier. And it was still happening. And the whole thing felt orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And Jackie and I experienced faith, hope, and love in a new dimension. They believed for the impossible. They had a vision. They had faith. They believed not just for addition, but for multiplication. And when we went every week, they were meeting most of the days of the week, but hundreds and thousands we saw gave their lives to the Lord. It was amazing. They had a structure to facilitate and care for such a large number of new believers. And they were strengthened, the new believers in their faith. And they encountered the Holy Spirit. And they were added into cells. And leaders were developed to lead the cells and make more disciples. And their vision wasn't just for the big church. It was to see transformation in Bogota. And at that time, Colombia was not a safe place to be. And over the years, we've seen the transformation take place. But their vision was beyond Bogota. It was for their country of Colombia. It was for the continent of South America and even the nations of the world. And today that vision is being fulfilled. In every continent, G12 churches are raised up with a vision, not just to grow church, but to form disciples, raise leaders to change their towns, their cities, and their nations. It's a vision of transformation. And more than ever, this vision calls for faith and faithfulness in God and his word, for hope, believing, regardless of what we see, the best is still to come, and at the heart, love. Love for God and love for the people. That visit for Jackie and I in 2002 changed everything. How could we be satisfied? We'd seen passion. We'd seen love. We'd seen faith at a level we'd only previously read about. We'd seen sacrifice, especially of time, but also of money. We'd seen family, husbands and wives serving together, children and parents serving the Lord together, priestly families living for Jesus. At that moment in time, it was a church of 200,000 maybe, there wasn't one divorced church member. Others who divorced had come in, but there wasn't anybody who joined the church who'd got divorced. What an incredible statistic. Our experience up to then seemed so shallow, so small compared to what they were living. I remember Pastor Caesar. He asked his 12 disciples to come up onto the stage. And he asked them how many cells they had. And every one of them talked about hundreds or thousands. And some were businessmen, and some were senators, and some were full-time pastors. And those guys up there, which nobody's ever heard of before except for God, the pastor with the least number of cells had more cells he was responsible for than the pastor in the UK with the biggest number of members. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have more cells than we have in members. And we'd never heard of these people. And this church just kept growing and growing and exporting. We came away with a challenge. Are we prepared to pay the price to see that at LifeSpring? You see, the cost is always too high unless there's a vision. Some pastor friends who joined us on this journey left a few years later. The price was too high. And I was left saddened. Should we leave too? But the words came to us when Jesus asked his disciples on one occasion, when his disciples and friends were leaving him, he said to his 12, do you want to go too? And they said, Peter said, we've got nowhere to go. You've got the words of eternal life. And that's how it felt for us. We tasted something. We'd seen something, a treasure, a pearl of great price. Anything else now would seem less. And I looked up at the hotel where we were staying at the time, and there was a little card next to the television, and it just said, stay connected. And it was about Wi-Fi, I think, if they had Wi-Fi, something in those. But it was a word for us, stay connected. And here we are in 2019, nearly 40 years after LifeSpring was birthed, still connected to Pastor Caesar and still hoping. We've had our ups and we've had our downs. We've had our victories, we've had our setbacks, but we're still going. We're still believing. We're still hoping. And my hope and prayer is that in some way, because we carry the same hope as Paul said in that verse, we can join together with one voice and bring glory, Jesus' glory, by encouraging each other to persevere and not give up until God's promises for LifeSpring are fulfilled. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, there's still more. LifeSpring's a good church, full of good people. But being a good church isn't our goal. Being a big church isn't our goal. Winning souls, making disciples, raising leaders is our strategy to fulfill the goal to bring change and transformation to people's lives here in Reading and beyond. Can you say amen to that? We are called to be light shining in darkness. We are called to do good works. Some of us heard amazing challenge on Thursday, somebody from Rahab, but also from June and Jackie here, about how we can be responding to that. We are called to do good works, that those not yet saved will see and give glory to God. We must not see church as an event that we come to on Sundays here at the Pavilion. Church has to be 24/7. Releasing goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in the workplace, in our families, in the communities, wherever we go. Let's be intentional. Let's release that treasure which is within us, which has been imparted into us, the life and the presence of God. LifeSpring, let's believe. Because if we believe, all things are possible. I'm just going to close now, but I just want to say, it's not time to give up and settle. Rather, it's time to stir up faith, hope, and love. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand over to James in a moment or two, but can we just stand together? I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray for us. You know, there's many good things that can come our way, but we've got to make decisions. Is this the purpose and plan of God for us? And we need to focus on that which he's given us to focus on. And Lord, I want to pray for LifeSpring. I thank you for this good church, which I love. I thank you for their generosity, their heart. Lord, as I look on those notices and just see the number of activities which happen in this place, I'm grateful that it's a church of life. It's a church that gives. It's a church that wants to make you known. It's a church which wants to touch the lives of others. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, where some of us feel like hope can be lost or diminished because we've not seen what we've been expected to see. Holy Spirit, will you just stir up again in our hearts that confidence in you? Our hope is in you. Our hope is in God. And I pray for us, Lord, that we will fulfill that which you've called us to be and that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray for fresh heart. I pray for fresh passion. I pray for fresh zeal, for fresh anointing. For some of us, Lord, like David, we just have to say, I am going to push through. I am yet going to praise you because you're still worthy. And we might not feel we're in a good place, Lord, but you want to bring us into that good place. And as we draw close to you, you draw close to us. Lord, come and fill us again, we pray. Fill us with your life. Fill us with your hope. Fill us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.